During the program's final 4 years, scripts were authored by such top Western writers as Kathleen Height, John Dunkel, Les Crutchfield, and Marion Clark. Their scripts were often alternated with some of John Meston's better offerings from previous years. Even some members of the Gunsmoke Company became authors. Director Norman McDonald wrote numerous programs. Supporting player Vic Perrin contributed several scripts. And soundman Tom Hanley authored a hilarious story entitled Marshall Proudfoot. This program centered around Chester's father paying a surprise visit to Dodge. Parley Bear doubled his role, playing both Chester and his dad. Here's Marshall Proudfoot as it was heard on July 20th, 1958.
Well, Matt, you here?
Yeah, I'm here, Doc. Come on in.
How come you're in bed so early?
I'm not in bed, Doc. I'm just resting.
Oh, I guess that's nice. Oh, I see the cost of government's going up again.
Oh? What makes you say that?
The soles of your boots. They're worn almost through.
I don't care.
What's the matter? Aren't you feeling good?
Sure, I feel fine, Doc. I always lie in bed till noon.
Well, it just doesn't look right for you to be lying around like this. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
What's the matter now?
It's cold. The coffee's colder than the rattlesnake's belly.
Don't drink it.
And it's no better hot either. No, Matt, like I was saying, a man in your position should have more to do than just lie around.
Well, maybe I'm just tired, Doc.
Oh, now, don't try to tell me it was brought on by upholding law and order all night, because I don't want to hear about it. I had a bad night myself.
Well, then sit down and rest.
Yes, here you go. Aren't you going to ask me what I was doing?
No.
You're not. Well, I spent the whole night working for $4 fee.
Oh? Well, there must have been somebody who didn't know you then.
They knew me, yes. It was Jeb Dorn. His wife had a baby girl.
Jeb, huh? He was hoping for a boy, as I recall it.
And that's what worries me.
Oh, why?
He refused to pay me.
No wonder you're tired.
What's this thing here? Oh. Well, who's this poster on?
It says right there, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Wanted... dead or alive, Jack Pargo for the torture and subsequent murder of... this man is noted for armed holdup and is believed heading in the general direction of Missouri, Kansas, or Nebraska. Oh, he's a mean-looking devil, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Well, I can see that he'll certainly find his comeuppance if he sticks his head in Dodge City.
Well, I'll tell you, Doc, I'll worry about that if he comes here. Huh?
Oh, well, that gives me a nice, safe feeling.
Marshal, here is Abe.
Yeah, I'm the marshal.
I say, Marshal Proudfoot, hereabouts is he?
Marshal Proudfoot?
Huh? Yeah, no, neither one. I say neither one of you ain't the marshal, I can tell. I'm his paw. I'd know him anywhere.
Doc, yeah? Go find Chester, will you?
Sure, Matt.
No need to get up. Just come see my boy, Marshal Chester Proudfoot. Made good somehow, he did. Chester never was one of my brightest boys. 11 boys I had, I remember. Say, I ain't shook a hand here yet. What's your name, sonny?
Dillon, Matt Dillon.
Ditto? A funny name for a man. I knew a man one time had the name of Hargrove. Hargrove. I thought that was the funniest up till now, but Dillon.
Doc, you better go get Chester.
Who's that fella?
Well, that's Doc Adams.
Nice to know you, sir.
Saying something, is he?
I said it's nice to know.
Now, my name's Wesley Proudfoot. Sire to Marshall, turns out. Yes, sir. 11 boys I had. Chester was nowhere near the brightest. No, sir, he'd rate about number 9 there.
Well, that's very interesting, Mr.
Chester,
Proudfoot.
Chester bordered on being ignorant, I'd think.
Oh, no, no.
I can't imagine how he ever got to be a marshal. Chester Wesley Proudfoot, marshal of Dodge City.
Look, Mr. Proudfoot.
named all them boys with the middle name of Wesley after me, it did. Hoped at least one of them would mount something like me. Yes. What's her name was?
It's Adams. Dr. Adams.
Dr. Adams. Horse or people?
What?
What's the matter with you? I say, do you doctor horses or people?
Yeah. people.
Oh, well, it's too bad for you. I wouldn't ever let a people doctor work on me, and I got a great many things wrong with me, too. Hey, where's Chester?
He's out getting the mail for me.
Well, good for him. Got spunk. Probably running down some of them bad men he always writes about. Used to have an assistant named Dillon working for him. Whatever become of him?
Dillon, that's me, Mr. Proudfoot. Matt Dillon, that's me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do a fair job, Gordon Chester. Says he can usually depend on you.
Well, that's very nice of him. Look, Mr. Proudfoot, maybe you should know something.
Hello, Doc.
Chester?
There wasn't none too much mail, Mr. Dillon.
Forget it, Chester.
What?
Chester, you've got company.
Who's a fat fella?
That's Chester. That's the Marshal Proudfoot.
Paul, you know, Mr. Dillon,
Act you, Chester?
Yeah, that's him, Mr. Proudfoot.
Ah, you've fatted up good deal, Chester. Your assistant here looks better than you do. I'd like an explanation.
Matter of fact, so would I, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, Doc, Hello, Paul.
What are you going to do about Matt?
Do about what, Doc?
Chester, telling his father that he's the marshal.
What can I do?
Well, not going to let him get by with it, are you?
I don't know, Doc.
Wait a minute, Matt. No, Matt, no. Let me by.
No?
An assistant doesn't make too much, you know.
Easy, Doc.
Hello, Doc.
Matt.
Hello, Kitty.
Doc, you're looking pretty strange today. How come?
Tell her, Matt.
You tell her, Doc. You're the one looking strange.
Well, come on. Somebody tell me. Yeah. Sit down.
Thank you.
Have you seen Chester, Kitty?
No. Why?
Yeah, we may never see him again.
What? What happened?
Not much, really, but I'm sure he wishes he was dead right now.
Oh, what's this all about?
Chester's father came to town today.
Well, what's so terrible about that?
He thinks Chester is the marshal here.
What?
Yeah, that's right, Kitty. Chester wrote to his father, and he probably stretched the truth a little bit, like we all do sometimes.
Oh, no. Well, where are they now?
Over at the Dodge House. He's getting the old man a room there.
Yeah, I never saw Chester look so scared in my life, Kitty. You should have seen him. He grabbed his paw, and he lit out of the office like his coat was on fire.
Don't be hard on him, Matt.
I'm not going to be hard on him.
Well, his father must be pretty old.
Oh, he's old, all right, yeah. He can't hear good, and he can hardly see. But he's a bright old fella.
Well, you can't let the old man be disappointed, Matt.
Well, what would you suggest I do, Kitty?
I don't know. Just don't hurt him, that's all.
I'm not gonna hurt him, Kitty. I don't care if the old man thinks Chester's a marshal.
Matt, we should think of something to make Chester look good while his father's in town.
Yeah. I heard the old man tell Chester that he was only gonna stay for a few days. Oh, say, Matt. Now, maybe you could lie low for a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I need a rest.
Hey, I got it. Why don't you get somebody to pretend to hold up and then let Chester play marshal and take him in? You can turn him loose when his father leaves.
Oh, now, Kitty, I couldn't do a thing like that.
Well, something's got to be done, Matt.
Yes, did you? I could put you to bed, Matt.
What are you talking about, Doc?
Yeah, you get sick and I'll examine you and say that you've got a rare blood disease and you have to go to bed for a few days.
It might work, Matt. I can't let that old man go away thinking Chester's been lying to him all this time.
No. We'll get Moss Grimmett to stage a fake holdup, you see? Then we'll come and get Chester, and right in front of his father, he'll capture the bandit.
You're the one with a rare disease, Doc, and it's not in your blood, it's in your brain.
I'll do it, Matt. You got to.
No, I don't got to. I don't want any part of a fake holdup. Now, you just get that out of your head.
Oh, Matt.
Well, I'm going back to the office.
Oh, sure, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Ruin an old man in his last days.
What do you think, Doc?
Old Matt'll come around all right, Kitty. He always does. I'll go talk to Moss Grimmick and have it all set.
Hello,
Anybody here? I say anybody in here with you? Oh, there you are, Dillon. Well, took to your bed kind of early, didn't you? It ain't but 4 o'clock.
Hello, Mr. Proudfoot. Where's Chester?
Yes. Well, I guess you got such a dead little town on your hand, you can do that, you and Chester.
I say, where is Chester?
Saying something?
I said, where's Chester?
Don't yell like that. Hurts my ear pan when you beller out like that. Got a pretty big voice on you there, Dillon. What's the matter with you? Feeling poorly, are you? I say, feeling poorly, are you?
I feel terrible.
Too bad. Chester ain't feeling too good, neither.
Oh?
Oh, been lolling around on my bed over at the rooming house all day. Good thing you boys got this dead town on your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, people be up the creek with both the marshal and his assistant in bed. Ooch over there. I say, Ooch over there, let me take a look at you. Let me look at your eyes. Tell everything about how a man feels by looking to his... Look at me, Dillon.
I can't help looking at you.
That's
Mr.
it. That's coming. Yes, sir. You got bad eyes there, Dillon. That one in particular. You got a good voice, but bad eyes. Them eyes remind me of Chester's Uncle Hector. Last time he looked all slack-jawed like that, he died the next day. Huh? What say?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Oh, thought you talked.
No.
Yes, sir. Hector was Chester's fighting uncle. Reckon that's where Chester gets all his get up and go.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, some different, though. Hector fought again the law, Hector did. Ever seen a man stirred up again the law all the time like old Hector was?
Have you had your dinner yet, Mr. Proudfoot?
Indeed, he was a winner. You're right there. Won all his battles. Killed 2 marshals, Hector did. Killed them dead. It's a good thing Chester's on the side of the law. Man that's a terror like that ought to be on the side of the law.
Hey, Matt, you
Chester
here?
Ought to be.
Hello, Mr. Proudfoot.
Do what? Oh, you're here. Look here, you got a sick deputy here, Adams. Better go get a horse doctor and get him straightened out.
What are you doing in bed, Matt?
I'm in bed because I'm sick, Doc. Did you ever hear of anything like that?
You're sick?
Uh-huh.
You are, Matt? Oh, say, that's fine.
Yeah, well, I figured you'd think so. Doc, would you do me a favor and take Mr. Proudfoot out to dinner? Anything, just get him out of here.
Yeah, sure, Matt. You betcha. Oh, see, your eyes look kind of beady there.
Yeah, well, we've been through all
well,
that.
Well, if I didn't know better, I'd say that you had a fever.
Adams, I say you got a sick boy there, Adams.
Doc, would you go right now?
Yeah, okay. Oh, sure. Mr. Proudfoot, you come with me. Come with me, Mr. Proudfoot. I'll take you to dinner.
Dinner? No, too early for dinner. Take a little glass of Dutch water with you, though, but don't let on Chester, will you?
Yeah, I'll see you later, Matt, and I'll let Kitty know you're with us.
Oh, fine, Doc. Good. You let Kitty know I'm with you. Yes, you just go.
Yes, sir, Adams. That boy there is sicker than a pig.
Let Kitty know I'm with you. Doc, you come back here! Hey, Kitty.
Yeah.
Where's Doc?
I don't know, Matt. He was here a little while ago. Why?
Well, I've wasted a half hour looking in all the Eden houses for him. He's got Chester's father with him. I gotta stop him.
Stop him from what?
From that fool idea that you and he had.
What do you mean, fool idea? Doc came by and said it was on, that you were playing sick in bed.
Kitty, I was in bed because I really was sick, and I still am sick. Oh. Have you and Doc lost your senses?
Well, we're just trying to help Chester, that's all.
Now, look, what if somebody else sees that hold-up Moss Grimmick is staging? How do they know that he's just playing games, huh?
Doc and I aren't going to let anybody get hurt, Matt. And you know Chester, he'll play along all the way.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of.
Hello, Kitty! All set, Kitty. Hello, Matt. Oh, you're on your feet for the fun.
You call this thing off right now, Doc.
Oh, no, it's too late, Matt. Chester and his father up at the Dodge House in exactly 3 minutes from now, Moss Grimmick is going to rush up there and say there's a hold up at the livery stable.
And I'm putting a stop to it before somebody gets...
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's not time yet.
Oh, come on, Doc. You can watch the fun you started.
Yes, come on.
You know, something ought to knock your head off for this.
Now, Matt, take it easy, Matt.
Marshal Dillon.
What?
You better hurry. Chester just shot a man at the Dodge House.
Good Lord.
Come on, let me through there, will you please? Move aside.
Stand back, Matt. Matt, wait. Well, look. Chester sitting on somebody.
Chester, what are you doing? Get off of that man. Doc, check that one line over there.
I will.
That's my boy, the marshal, there, Dillon.
Stand back. He
shot and wounded one fella, and we subdued the other one.
All right,
Mr. Jim
Puck,
Cold,
but
we
fine.
Did. Ain't a bad night's work, is it?
No, Chester, will you get up?
Well, Mr. Dillon, he tried to kill me and Paul.
Get up, I said. He's unconscious.
Oh, Matt, wait a minute. Look here.
What is it, Doc?
Look at this man. It's Jack Pargo.
What?
You know the man on that wanted poster?
Yeah, that is Pargo, all right.
What's the matter, Dillon? That fellow friend of yours, is he? He tried to hold up the hotel office here.
No, Mr. Proudfoot, it's not a friend of mine.
Huh? What say? Anybody catch that comment?
Hey, Chester! What? Chester! Hurry up, Chester. There's a hold up at the livery stable.
Moss, go home.
Yeah, but Doc told me that.
Just go back to your livery stable and call off the hold up, huh?
Yeah, forget it, Moss. Forget it. We've had the real thing, right?
Well.
Goodbye, Moss.
Well, yeah, sure. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.
Now, fella, come here.
Notice something here, did you, Dillon? Chester was right on the spot, he was. That's the reason he took my bed for so long.
Uh-huh.
He got an instinct for these things, Chester has. Put him right here on the spot for this holdup.
Now,
there's a reason for everything, I always say,
yeah,
Dillon.
Yeah, well, there's a reason, all right, Mr.
What say, Dillon?
Mr. Dillon, I can explain all this.
No, Chester, you and your father take care of things here. I'm sick and I'm going to bed.
Don't count on me taking care of things, Dillon. I'm leaving on the morning stage now I've saw my boy in action.
Yeah, well, all right, Mr. Proudfoot. Goodbye and good luck to you.
You wait right here a minute, Paul. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what?
Mr. Dillon, I can explain.
You don't have to, Chester.
But, yes, sir, I do have to explain. I swear I've never been so humiliated in all my whole life. I've been thinking about it all day, Mr. Dillon. I never wrote but two letters to Pa, and, well, maybe I did stretch a couple things, but Pa, he put it all together and made me out more important than what I am. But I'll set him straight, Mr. Dillon, honest, I will. I'll tell him the truth, and I'll do it right now.
Chester. You do, and you're fired. Now you go on back and help your father take care of things.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Marshal Proudfoot, written by sound man Tom Hanley. Another frequent contributor to Gunsmoke was Marion Clark. Again, Norman McDonald.
Marion Clark wrote some 65 to 70 Gunsmokes, and interestingly enough, one of two women that was terribly successful in the Western field. I met Marion Clark through Kathleen Height, who had taken Marion under her wing in a way. Marion was confined to a wheelchair and not able to get around, but Kathleen had told me a great deal about her during the time that Kathy and I worked on other shows together, like Romance and Rogers of the Gazette and so on. She felt that it would be good therapy if Marion could do a script. And I thought this would be fine. And Marion not only did one script, she did some 69 or 70 more, because she was had a marvelous insight into the woman's side of the Western idiom. There were several things that were almost a trademark with Marion, and strangely enough, one of them was the sort of sad, wistful tragedy of people moving west and bringing their most treasured belongings with them. And one script in particular of Marion's, I think, exemplifies this. It was in July or August of 1958. It was called The Piano, and it's a great example of Marion's work.
Want some more pie, Kitty? You might as well, since Doc's paying for it.
No, thanks, Matt. I've had plenty.
Yeah, what happened to make you such a big spender, Doc? Some forgotten relative leave you something in his will?
Might as well,
Well, what do you mean, Doc?
Well, you remember that cowboy got himself shot up in a Long Branch brawl? Oh, that was a year or two ago?
There's been more than one of them.
Well, I know that, but Kitty might remember this. She helped stop the bleeding until I got there.
Oh, I remember, Doc. He didn't even have enough money to buy a beer.
And we figured he never would have.
Well, what happened to him?
Well, sir, I had a letter from him this morning. He's had some kind of a payoff in California. And he sent me a $20 gold piece to pay me for what he called my medical services.
Oh, that's fine, Doc. I'm glad he made out.
Yes, men like him don't often do it.
And you don't often get paid either.
Well, you never know in my business.
Mr. Dillon.
It's Chester, Matt, at the door.
Oh. And you too, Doc. Hurry up.
He means that, Doc. Excuse us.
Sir.
He's gone back outside.
Somebody must be hurt.
I didn't hear any shooting.
Now, there are other ways to get hurt, Doc.
Over here by the stage, Mr. Dillon.
Oh.
That man has been hurt, Matt.
That's the shotgun messenger, Doc.
Somebody must have held up the stage, then.
Mike got shot, Mr. Dillon. He's hurt pretty bad.
Let me take a look.
What happened, Chester?
Well, I don't know for sure. I seen the stage come in just now, and Mike was driving.
Mike was driving?
Yes, sir, so I knew something was wrong, and then I could see he is hurt, too.
Matt.
Yeah, Doc.
He's trying to say something. Make it fast, Matt. I got to get him up to my office.
Mike, it's Marshal Dillon. What happened?
Held up. Driver killed.
Were there any passengers?
No. Currency. Shipment. 20,000.
Where'd it happen, Mike?
No. He's going out, Matt.
Mike. Try. Please try. Tell me where'd it happen. How many men? Huh?
North Hat Creek. Two men. Who?
That's all, Matt. He's unconscious.
I'll find a couple of men to help you, Doc. Chester, go get our horses.
Yes, sir.
And hurry.
They went along here right now, Mr. Dillon. That cracked shoe shows up real plain.
Yeah, they've been riding hard, too. But they must have slowed down or stopped for a while somewhere.
Well, I hope they didn't get no more sleep last night than we did.
What's the matter, Chester? You getting old?
No, sir, it ain't that. But my gracious, 2 hours sleep. It just don't seem worth bothering about, that's all.
Well, I hope our friends bothered a little about sleep.
Well, if I was carrying $20,000 in bills, I wouldn't never stop.
Yeah? You'd have to be riding a pretty unusual horse, then.
Well, yes, I guess you're right.
But... Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Looks like they did stop, after all.
What?
They built a fire over there.
Yeah, it was them, all right.
Yeah, same tracks. I think we picked up a little time on them, Chester. Come on, let's pick up some more.
Like they're stuck to the saddle. They're near dark again.
They'll have to stop someplace along here pretty soon, huh?
Well, I don't know.
Hold up, Chester. Those tracks are heading down to those bushes along the creek here. Let's go easy.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Off yonder, above the stream there, there's a shack.
Yeah, I see it.
You think they might maybe a hit out in it?
Maybe, but I'm not going to ride straight up to find out. We'll leave the horses here.
Yes, sir.
And we'll circle around back. Just keep low.
There's two horses tied up there.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Dillon, there they are.
Yeah. All right, hold it, Joe.
They're heading for the horses. You got him.
Yeah, but the other one's getting away.
He's out of range.
Chester, you go bring the horses up. I'll see about the man I shot.
Well, ain't you going after the other one?
He's got a pretty good head start, and it's near dark. I'm not going after him blind. Morning's soon enough. Now, go on.
You get my brother. You get Rack.
Not yet. You hurt bad?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure am.
Chester!
Yes, sir?
Tie up those horses and come here. We'll carry him into the shack.
Be right there.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
His fellow's horse.
Well, what about him?
Well, his leg's broke. He must have stumbled and he's trying to get away. You reckon I better shoot him?
All right, you can do it as soon as we get this man out of the shack.
Easy, easy.
All right, open the door, Chester. I'll keep hold of him.
Why, it's locked. You suppose somebody lives in this forsaken place?
Well, we'll find out. Go ahead and knock.
Anybody in there? Open up!
Anybody in there?
There's no need for any more noise at my door. Just finished telling you men you can't stay in my house.
You don't need that shotgun, ma'am. We don't mean any harm.
I intend to defend my home, sir. No rough men are going to tramp around amongst my fine things.
You open the door a little wider, ma'am, and you'll see we're not the same men.
I don't open my home to any strangers.
I'm Marshal Dillon from Dodge City, and we got a badly injured man here.
A United States Marshal?
That's right, ma'am.
Well, then I guess I'll have to let you in. But I don't hold with your Yankee government. I want that clear.
All right, ma'am, fine. Come on, Chester. Now, you just show us where you want us to put him.
He hurt bad.
Yeah, bad enough.
Well, I suppose even a rough man has a right to die in a bed. But mind you, be careful of my thing.
All right, ma'am, we'll mind.
Miller's horse, Mr. Dillon. I brung the saddle.
Ah, good.
Say, ain't things a little strange in there?
A little?
All that talk about not hurting her fine things, why, there ain't nothing there that's worth carting away except maybe that old pine.
Yeah, I know.
Everything else is all cracked and broke. Why, most ladies wouldn't give that stuff house room.
If you gentlemen would care to join me, I fixed a small supper.
Well, that's very nice of you, ma'am.
I'll just say it's nice.
Mr. Hanford. He's my husband. Mr. Hanford always said I could spot a gentleman right away. I could see you two were gentlemen as soon as we exchanged pleasantries there in the entryway.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Proudfoot.
Ma'am?
Please take your hat off my cherry wood piano.
My land, ma'am, it can't hurt nothing.
I do not allow anything to mar the finish of my beautiful cherry wood piano.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Here's your plate. Please sit down.
Thank you.
I don't imagine your wounded friend will be able to partake.
No, Miss Hanford, he's not likely to come to for some time. That is, if he ever does.
I can't imagine how he got his wound. I had seen him just a few minutes before you gentlemen.
Miss Hanford, ma'am, didn't you hear the shooting right outside your door?
I have trained myself not to see and hear the ugly things of life. I just live here alone among my things.
But you said that you have a husband.
My husband has been gone for 4 years now, Marshal.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Mr. Hanford, you'll never be content to live a quiet life. He thought he could when first we came here directly after the war. I had in mind he'd build me a new plantation. But, Marshal, just between you and me, Mr. Hanford didn't appreciate my lovely things. And one day... he just moved on west.
Oh, that's too bad, ma'am.
I do not need your pity, sir. I'm content.
Well sure, of course.
I'd be obliged if you gentlemen would sleep out there on the veranda.
Veranda?
Oh, well, that's all right, Chester. We'll sleep on the veranda. I am going to have to keep an eye on Miller, though, ma'am.
I will watch over him, Marshal.
Well, no, that's not your job, Miss Hanford.
I'm mistress of this house, Marshal Dillon. I will watch over him. I will call you if there's any change. As a matter of fact, I'll look to him right now.
Well, all right, ma'am.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, is that slanty old porch a veranda?
Well, it is to her.
My, if she don't beat all. I dig a grave, the ground seems harder than the last time.
Our grave digging isn't supposed to be easy, Chester. It's too permanent.
Funny how many men dies at daybreak, ain't it? I mean, when everything else is starting up and all.
Well, I guess when you have to die, it's as good a time as any.
Where do you reckon his brother is by now?
Rack, I don't know. But we're sure gonna have a long ride to catch up with him.
Yeah. I sure ain't one to hurry up a man about his dying, but I sure would have been glad to have been shut of this place for now.
What's the matter, Chester? Don't you enjoy southern hospitality?
Mr. Dillon, I have to walk around in that old shack on my tiptoes. She's after me every minute about not hurting her things. Gracious goodness, I couldn't hurt them old things if I tried.
Well, we can be leaving soon now, Chester. We've done about all we can do. Get out!
Mr. Dillon, in them bushes.
Yeah. And my guns are in the house. Come on.
I believe it's customary.
Will you get out of the way, please? I want my gun over there.
What do you suppose that crazy fool's thinking of?
I don't know, Chester, but he must have a good reason for sticking around.
His brother?
No, I don't think he'd take on these odds when he was pretty sure his brother was done for. I think he's got another reason. Where's the saddle that came off Miller's horse?
Over there in the corner?
Oh.
Be careful of your heavy footsteps.
Yeah, let's see now. Yeah, that's it. No wonder he stuck around.
All that money makes up into a right pretty little package, don't it?
Yeah. Mr. Dillon, I don't understand this sudden rudeness on your part.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I'm not too polite when I'm being shot at. And you stay away from those windows.
I thank you not giving me orders in my own house.
Chester, let's push the piano in front of that window over there, huh? Right. We're like sitting ducks this way.
You will not touch my cherry.
All right, come on, Chester. Push.
Oh, don't harm it. Oh, don't harm it.
All right. Now I'll watch the front and you take the side, huh? I don't think you'll wait long.
How
long must I endure this? How long?
As long as that outlaw's out there, Miss Hanford. He's not going to let us out of here alive.
You're going to stay here tramping around among my nice things until he goes away.
I'm afraid so, ma'am.
Well, then I'll just order him off my land.
Miss Hanford, come back here.
See here, sir.
Miss Hanford!
You're trespassing. I want you to ride off.
Why, he shot her.
Yeah. There he is, running for the creek.
He's down. You got him.
Yeah. You go make sure, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
I'll see to Miss Hanford. Miss Hanford. Miss Hanford.
I sure didn't. You were right.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
He was no gentleman, was he, Marshal? Trespassing on a lady's property.
No, ma'am, he wasn't.
He's dead, Mr. Dillon. How's Miss Hanford?
Not good. Not good at all. Miss Hanford, we're going to take you into your house.
No, not just yet, Marshal. Don't move me. Let me die here on the veranda.
But you'd be more comfortable...
Please, Marshal. I won't delay you long.
Well, is there anything we can do? I mean, is there any way to make you feel better?
If you would just see... If you would just see that somebody takes care of my lovely cherrywood pan.
She gone?
Yeah. Well, I can carry her inside now.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
She really believed Rack Miller would listen to her and go away, didn't she?
Yeah. That he was no gentleman.
Well, it's just a shame, that's what it is. His piano sure must play pretty. The way she loved it. Took care of it so good.
What are you doing?
Oh, I just thought I'd hit me a note or two. She wouldn't care, would she?
No, I guess she wouldn't.
Why? Why don't play at all?
Huh?
And look here. Under the top. All the strings is rusted away. Just hanging there. Mr. Dillon, this pine ain't made a sound for years.
Well, I guess it didn't have to play, Chester. Just had to look pretty. It was all she had.
Return to the story of Gunsmoke in just one moment.